Father God, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love and your care. I thank you, Father, for every person that's on. And I ask, Lord God, that you would just settle things around us as we cover this topic. I pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that you would, even if we don't fully understand, Lord God, that you would just pull back the veil and let us see the truth. I pray that you would open up, Lord God, as I said, open up the eyes of our understanding. That's the eyes of our heart to see the truth. That you would grant us wisdom. And that, Father, knowing the things that we will cover tonight, that we'll be able to take and apply that to the things that we see on the media in the coming days. I think it's very important given the events in Israel that we remember the coverage and the deception the media is trying to present. So help us, Lord God, to see things through your eyes and not our own. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen. So, you know, I started covering the topic of Israel because I shy away from things, but because I was asked to. And I was feeling the impression to cover the things of Israel, and I was just waiting for the Lord's timing. And so when I was asked, I knew that that was the Lord's provocation. So tonight, this is the Christian's responsibility to Israel in 2025. This is part three of this series. The last one was a very long message. You can go and spend, you know, I think 70 or 80 minutes of your time listening to that, or you can read it. We did send it out. But as I cover this tonight, this part three is Know the Enemy. And that subtitle is Media. Know the Enemy, Media. Because as the events in the Middle East unfold right now, we need to recognize the information we are receiving is coming from media. And if you're not on the ground, we are often relying on media. And the media is not a friend of Israel. The media is not a friend of America either. So, you know, at least we're in the same boat. They are not there to project God's plans and purposes. They're not there to project truth. They are there to be the propaganda arm of the cabal. And people say, well, I don't watch mainstream media. Well, I'm going to give you some information tonight that might make you question some of the other media sources you listen to or watch or go to for information. And if you have been on one of those platforms and you have believed what's been shared, please take that to the Lord. And if you've believed it and you're like, you feel that conviction of the Lord, repent and move on. You know, if you're like, no, I know that I was right, I confirmed it, et cetera, that's a different story. But I want to encourage you, we are children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which means we walk in truth. And if we're going to stay in his light, we have to stay in truth. We can't be weaving in and out of propaganda. We will lose our effectiveness as intercessors, as representatives of Christ, and we will view the things in front of us through the lens of the person that we're listening to, rather than through the lens of the Lord. I think earlier this year, I don't know, the year is going by so quickly, I did a message on viewing history through the lens of the Lord, and it's on our website, and I would encourage you to read it or go listen to that message. It's available in both formats. We have to get to a place where we view history through the lens of the Lord, especially as we move deeper into, you know, dark times, especially as, you know, we approach that final that final call. We have to view things through the lens of the Lord, because there'll be a day that there will not be one thing that you read or see or watch that will be true. The only truth will be what's in the Word of God. So let's move forward. All right. The last time I close with this following is the days ahead. So I said, in the coming days, I want to encourage you to put your thinking caps on. Really activate the critical thinking part of your brains. Think about what we've seen in America over the last several years with the media and the corruption. They've not only promoted but provoked with propaganda, and consider the possibility that maybe, just maybe, the enemy is at work in how we perceive events in a world 7,000 miles away. And stay the course. Pray for Israel. And I believe there's a direct correlation between the end times and the increased hatred and persecution of Israel and the Jewish people the world over. So if the people of God don't pray for Israel, who will? Israel, you know, we often look at the Bible, we read through Revelation, and we just have Revelation. We are the center of the book of Revelation, right? America is the center of the book of Revelation, and that's not accurate. The center of the book of Revelation is Israel. And so we've got to remember that. And the enemy would like nothing better than try to intercept God's plans. And he will wreak havoc in the process of trying to do so. Will he override God's plans? No. But he's going to do his best to wreak havoc on it. So with this all in mind, let's talk about the media. Now, I've talked about the media before. Some of this might be you've heard before from me even. You know, hopefully I go over this and you're like, oh, we know that, and we can all just walk away on the same page. So the media, as I shared a few minutes ago, has been a source of corruption in governments, you know. It's been a source of corruption, just as Daryl shared on the Praise Report. Look at what the media is doing and how the media is twisting things about gang members. Look at how the media is twisting things about Doge. Look at how the media is twisting things about what Kristi Noem says and about what President Trump says and about what J.D. Vance says. Look at how the media is twisting information. But this is not new. They've been doing it for a very long time. You know, the reason our founding fathers granted freedom of the press, that's why it was in, you know, it's our First Amendment right, was because the crown controlled the information released to the people under its rule. The press did not release anything without approval of the crown. Tragedy, celebrations, the press didn't release it without the approval of the crown. They did not want this for the United States of America. As they formed our government, they wanted this government to be in a position where it was kept by check. It was kept in check by the media, not funding media, kept in check by the media. And so I'm going to take us back just a little bit, back to World War II, where anti-Semitic propaganda served as a catalyst, really, that turned much of the world against Israel. And this really resulted in the slaughter of millions of Jews. However, and I think sometimes we forget this, dictators the world over use this period as a catalyst for massive genocides in their own nations. The total death toll from World War II is upwards of 50 to 55 million non-military people in the world. That's a lot of people. And the estimate of Jews is 6 to 11 million, because there were Jews and Polish Jews. All the rest, massive genocides under dictators, because it was a catalyst, really, for tragedy. It began with propaganda to snuff out the Jews. That was the goal. And because of that, the whole world suffered. So propaganda is really, if you look at it today, it's another word for marketing, or another word for propaganda is marketing. And so if you can control the minds and ideas of your audience, you have power over them. If you can control the minds and ideas of your audience, you have power over them. Propaganda is such a powerful tool, and it's used by governments, and it has been throughout history, to shape public opinion and maintain control of their citizens. By circulating biased or misleading information, authorities can influence citizens' beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors, ultimately impacting political landscapes and social structures. Understanding how propaganda functions is crucial for fostering critical thinking and safeguarding democratic values in an increasingly information-saturated world. From subtle messaging in the public service announcement to overt manipulation through state-controlled media, the methods employed are diverse and often very deceptive. There really is an intricate relationship between propaganda and power, so knowing how governments utilize propaganda to control the narrative and solidify their authority is important for us as Christians. So I'm going to give, I'm going to go over four mechanics of manipulation that are used. They're propaganda techniques. And so the first one is appeal to emotion. Appeal to emotion. This bypasses logic and reason by triggering fear, anger, and even patriotism. Fear-mongering through exaggerated threats can garner support for aggressive policies, while evoking national pride can create a sense of unity and discourage dissent. When it's an international thing, fear and anger over those perceived injustices is particularly powerful, especially when targeting those social justice warriors. You know, they're always trying to get those social justice warriors all riled up. So this is used and has been used in both Ukraine and Russia and in the Hamas-Israel conflict. It's been used under abortion, it's been used in COVID, it's been used in politics, race baiting, and so on. This is the appeal to emotion. The second thing is bandwagoning. This creates an impression of widespread support for a particular policy or ideology. This can pressure individuals to conform and silence opposing viewpoints. We see this in a variety of ways, from like likes and shares. And if you hover your cursor over an article, like if you open up your Bing browser or Google or something like that, and you hover your cursor over the thumbs up or thumbs down thing, it'll tell you more people like this than dislike this article, or more people dislike than like this article. And you can even click the like or dislike without actually reading the article. How deceptive is that? That's why those titles are so important, the titles of the articles. It creates this impression of widespread acceptance on a topic. That's called bandwagoning. Everybody wants to get on the bandwagon, right? The third thing is demonization. This portrays enemies as inherently evil or subhuman to justify oppressive measures and fuel public animosity. We saw this prior to World War II when Hitler's Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, who is historically known as a master at wordsmithing and who played a crucial role in shaping Nazi ideology and disseminating propaganda to promote the regime's agenda. He was solely responsible for controlling all forms of communication in Nazi Germany. This is newspapers and film and radio and the arts. This was prior to actually TV, but they even used film stars to promote agendas clear back then. And they would use, in the movies, they would do like a preliminary movie, kind of like a trailer, where they would, it's almost like a commercial, that would promote and provoke hatred for the Jews. That was part of Joseph Goebbels' propaganda machine, the demonization of Jews. He orchestrated massive campaigns that vilified Jews, glorified Hitler, and consistently presented the Nazi Party as the savior of Germany. His campaigns were so successful, the church itself remained silent week after week, while trainloads of screaming Jewish men, women, and children went hurling down the track behind the church. And the burnt ashes of those occupants softly floated down on the streets as they traversed to work each Monday. The church remained silent because they believed Joseph Goebbels. Everything he said about the Jews, they believed it. The fourth thing is simplification and slogans. They reduce complex issues to easily digestible sound bites. It's effectively stifling critical analysis and promoting nuanced thinking. This barrage of carefully crafted messaging seeks to bypass critical thinking and foster unquestioning acceptance of the narratives. So if you think about memes and TikTok and Instagram, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. We're thinking about headlines or billboards. It's catchy, it's simplified, there's slogans, and it sticks in your head. Joseph Goebbels was highly effective in his propaganda campaigns against the Jews in World War II. And I just keep thinking, what would he have done with the technology that we possess today? What would he have done? When we understand these techniques used to manipulate and control us, we can become more adept at identifying, hopefully resisting, manipulative tactics. And so now we're going to go into the evolution of propaganda. So while traditional media outlets like newspapers and television remain susceptible to government or owner influence, the digital age has ushered in new avenues for propaganda dissemination. Social media platforms with their vast reach and potential for viral spread have become potential tools for shaping public discourse. If we consider the impact of memes that are shared every day, I looked this up. Instagram estimates an average of 1 billion memes uploaded every day. 1 billion on Instagram. X estimates 500 million. TikTok estimates 34 million uploads, and Telegram tops them all with estimates of 12 billion messages uploaded every single day. That's crazy. People are 20% more likely to share a meme, and only 6% of people that read a news article actually share it. People share these things not even knowing if they're true. Mainstream media is working feverishly to catch up in this realm, which is scary to me. It's really frightening to me that mainstream media is trying to catch up with the distribution speed as these social media platforms. If we add to this fake news and alternative media, coupled with the onslaught of government-controlled narratives, it can really be challenging to discern truth from falsehood. As I shared last time, we've got to keep our critical thinking caps on amid this ever-evolving environment. You know, in America, we once had strict guidelines in our nation that were set to protect us from government or state-run media. You know, America still could propagandize the world to keep America in the good graces of other nations. But our government was not allowed to propagandize Americans themselves, thanks to the 1948 Smith-Mundt Act. So this act was developed to regulate broadcasting programs for foreign audiences produced under the guidance of the State Department, and it prohibited domestic distribution of materials produced by such programs as one of its provisions. Truman signed the original when it was coined the Dirty Tricks Doctrine into law in 1948, just days after the CIA, and it was run by the CIA, you know, they just dumped $250 million into the Italian elections to ensure their favored candidate would win that election. Right after that, the Dirty Tricks Doctrine was signed into law because that was a pretty successful operation. So again, this is run by the State Department, and it's was only supposed to be used in other countries, but it ultimately became part of a greater CIA-backed operations that took place around the world. That was until 2012. When President Barack Obama lifted the ban on its use here in America, 64 years after its conception, Obama, and I really believe this was his, you know, poetic justice moment. While Americans celebrated our freedom during this particularly long 4th of July weekend, he sat in the Oval Office and repealed the 1948 Smith-Mundt Act. Repealing that ban on the Dirty Tricks Doctrine. And this was sandwiched in the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act. You can look this up. Meaning, from that day forward, from July 4th, 2012, the State Department would now be allowed to regulate and disseminate domestic programming. That means the State Department can manipulate. They can find the candidates that they prefer, and they can run their own campaigns on the American people without consequence. These are methods that are used by communist nations. China and North Korea use this, Russia uses this, Iran, and every Middle Eastern nation except Israel, along with, you know, all these other communist nations that I've mentioned and dictatorial governments. So now that it's here in America, now President Trump, they are taking steps to eliminate this. I believe that he has repealed this. And I should have looked this up. I was trying to look it up really quickly before I said that, but I apologize for that. But I will look it up, and I'll include it in the write-up. So if we look at what's taken place over the last 13 years, knowing we've been propagandized, we have been seeing the truth with what's coming out with the FBI, what's coming out with the NSA, what's coming out with the CDC, and so on. We are seeing the results of us as Americans being propagandized. If we look at the key issues that we've been facing in our nation in the last 12 years, we've got COVID, we've got the 2016 Russia hoax, we've got the 2020 election, we've got the Ukraine-Russian war, we've got the transgender crisis among minors, we've got corruption in our government, our DOJ, our FBI, the human trafficking and abortion that we see running rampant in our nation. We can see how media has either suppressed truth or lied to the American people in each of these areas. The truth about COVID has come out. This was financed through USAID. So are the media outlets in America, Ukraine, and in Palestine. This is why that organization has got to be shut down. I know that they shut down the office in DC, but there's quite a bit of USAID that is still operating today. We've seen the truth about Ukraine and Russia come out, and this is building up because we've got to look at the fact that what we have seen in the last 13 years, what we have been watching in the last 13 years, we've been inundated by propaganda our own government was throwing at us about the things that they wanted to further, projects they wanted to further, wars they wanted us to be involved in, and get the support of the American people behind it. And we've got to stop and consider, is it possible? Is it possible that the media is behind the pushing of false narratives, even still in our own country, about events taking place 7,000 miles away? Is it possible? There have been pockets of truth that have come out about Russia and Ukraine. Every overthrow of the Ukrainian government has been financed by the likes of George Soros, who receives funds through USAID for his NGOs. His NGOs are Open Society Foundation and the National Endowment for Democracy. This is what he opens up his media outlets with. Soros himself set up the network to broadcast live from Ukraine in the 2013-2014 Maidan protests in Ukraine, which ultimately led to the overthrow of a duly elected president in 2014. This was a color revolution. And it was the second, I believe, and we are witnessing the third right now in Ukraine. Color revolution. So George Soros has been a key player in through his media operations, funded by you and I, the taxpayer. These networks are still in place, still active, and still propagating conflict between Russia and Ukraine that's now cost 1 million lives. 1 million. How many Americans flew the Ukrainian flag on their social media pages? When that conflict hit, you could not open social media without seeing the Ukrainian flag. And today, you can't open social media without seeing the Palestinian flag. So, who supports this kind of effort? Who benefits from it? And I think that for us who really want to keep our critical thinking caps on, we have to get in the habit of asking ourselves these questions. Apart from bankers and globalists, who profits from me believing the information I just received is true? We need to ask ourselves these questions. Who profits from me believing the information I just received is true? You can look at Nancy Pelosi's stock tracker and see how she personally benefited under COVID and her pushing COVID. You can look at her stock tracker and see the timeline of the Russia-Ukraine when it first started and see how she benefited from that. How many more people sitting in Congress today are benefiting from us believing the propaganda that's being spread to us? We need to ask ourselves, how does the information make me feel? This goes to the emotion side of things that I just read a few minutes ago. Does it make us happy? Does it make us angry? Does it make us fearful? When people are afraid and when they are angry, they take action. When they're afraid, they will do anything their government tells them. When 9/11 hit, we signed off gladly. We applauded Bush while he signed the Patriot Act, which gave them the right to access our phone records, gave them the right to monitor us the way they do, gave them the right, and we welcomed, put your cameras anywhere you want them. Yes, keep us safe, right? We welcomed it. When we felt afraid under COVID, we stayed in our homes. When we were pressured, we closed our churches. When we were afraid of getting sick, we stayed away from family members and isolated. Depression skyrocketed. Who profited from that? Pharmaceutical industry. Who profited from the vaccines? The pharmaceutical industry. Who else profited from that? How many people sitting in Congress today profited from it? The next question we need to ask ourselves is, does this promote man's plans or God's plans? Does it promote man's plans or God's plans? Because if we are being fed something that promotes man's plans, that is our first indicator to step back and go to prayer. They really have manipulated the American people, and they still are. Remember, our enemy here is media, mainstream media and social media. So, you know, you say, what about free speech? Don't we have free speech? Well, that went out the window after World War II. So how do they control social media? Aren't our posts our posts? Well, our government has an answer for everything. So in 2015, when President Trump was rising up in the polls, Obama and his State Department set up the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which is CISA for short, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. It's a subdivision of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and it's responsible for protecting the nation's critical infrastructure from physical or cyber threats. So it's there protecting from cyber threats. What do they consider to be physical or cyber threats? Well, people that disagree that COVID is real, people that disagree that you should be on lockdown because of COVID, because you might get your loved ones sick. Those people, they're a security threat to the broader population. Think about that. People that feel like our borders should be closed. Well, that's certainly a threat. That's a threat because Trump is saying we need to build a wall. So we see that as a cyber threat or security threat. We don't know, but it's a threat to the establishment. And because it's a threat to the establishment, we're going to have to bring those posts and we're going to push them down the line. People's YouTube channels, people's, it was Twitter then, people's Facebook pages. If you put on there anything that could help fight COVID naturally, you could lose your channel. You could lose your Twitter account. You could lose your Facebook page. If you started saying, hey, I think we need to rise up and fight against this, this level of manipulation and control is wrong. You were judged as selfish, you were reported, and your channel was taken down. Through these methods, the State Department has really grabbed hold of information fed not only to Americans, but the whole world. Social media really is a network without borders. Globalists and New World Order proponents like George Soros really have to be thrilled to see a media without borders. You know, when I review this and I research this, it makes me so, it really makes me emotional, honestly, because our founding fathers framed our Constitution to protect the freedoms they fled from, the freedoms that they stood in the battlefield fighting alongside their men with and watched their men die all around them. These men fought for the freedoms that we have today. And yet here we have, over the last decade, two decades, these freedoms that have been stripped from us. And we don't even realize it. In 2024, I had a vision. And it was, you know, I entitled it The Octopus. As it was, I saw an octopus sitting over D.C. controlling the world. And it actually had tentacles that spread out across the entire earth, and it was sucking the life out of nations. And it fed back into this grotesque, tar-like octopus. When President Trump and Elon Musk came forward with the orders to shut USAID down, the Lord immediately spoke to me, that's the octopus. This is a corrupt organization. It's the swamp. It's the octopus that uses our taxpayer dollars to overthrow governments around the world via corrupt and nefarious activities. They promote divisive agendas, and they'll do anything and everything to divide, to conquer the population. In the last decade, we've seen this run rampant throughout our own nation. And it really has to continue to come down. I know some of it has, but I'm telling you, there's still too much USAID in place. And there are corrupt judges that continue to block President Trump's efforts to shut this down. And I believe that the USAID-controlled media is the lifeblood of this octopus. If you knew, I mean, they single-handedly funded Politico, which is the major news source that was given to all government employees, federal government employees. We literally have been funding one of the most liberal news agencies out there with our taxpayer dollars. Both mainstream media and social media, and we as Christians have to be, they've been doing this, I'm sorry, with USA-controlled media. So we have both mainstream media and social media that have been affected by this. So we as Christians, we've got to be seeking the Lord over media for our answers. People watch media and they have this sense, or they feel a witness when they watch something, and then everything that person says seems to become gospel truth to them. And we're not called to align with man's opinions. We're not called to do that. We're called to align ourselves with God. When we entangle ourselves in media personalities, we're shifting our trust and allegiance from God to man. The media is our enemy. It's not our friend. And the majority of media is funded by globalists. Well, and us, the taxpayer dollar, the taxpayers. They hire people who push narratives, propaganda, and they're experts at this, to sway public opinion in order to divide us and conquer us. We can't forget that 99% of those who teach journalism in our country are hardcore leftists. Hardcore. 99%. So, you know, these are the people that believe in abortion. There are people that believe in a nation without borders. There are people that believe in a lot of corrupt things that we've been fighting against. So I want to add something here in our because part of the purpose of the media, knowing our enemy, the media, part of the purpose for this is because I want us to protect ourselves from deception. And it's, I feel a responsibility that whenever I have, I would say the microphone, but I'm on a phone. So whenever I have this, is to work to educate and to protect and to help us as intercessors, us as Christians, rise up in the love and love and admonition of the Lord, but also in the wisdom of God with his discernment. And somewhere along the way, I have seen such a decline in wisdom and discernment. Not just, in the world, we expect that in the world, but I've seen that in the body of Christ. And that grieves my heart. So I want to add something here. The Spirit of the Lord resides in everyone who confesses the name of Jesus Christ. When we accept him into our hearts, the Spirit enters, and there's that mustard seed of faith. Didn't he say that all we need is a grain of mustard seed? That mustard seed grain of faith ignites within us. That seed houses the dunamis power of the living God. The greater your faith, the greater the power of the living God that resides within you. And that will continue to increase as long as you nurture it. The more you nurture your faith through prayer and spending time in the Word of God, surrounding yourself with truth, the greater measure of the Spirit of the living God you will house. Your anointing will increase, your discernment will expand, and the authority of God that resides within you will grow. God's authority is over Satan's kingdom. Even as a babe in Christ, we house an amount of God's presence, but we don't have God's discernment yet, nor do we possess more than that mustard seed value of the wisdom of God. If we as Christians enter the realms of the kingdom of darkness, such as social media, YouTube, TikTok, Telegram, entertainment, these realms in which the world finds their pleasure as well as their distractions, and we choose to reside there, or we spend a disproportionate amount of time in this place, the light within us is going to begin to diminish. If you immerse yourself in darkness, the light within you will diminish. It's unavoidable. Until without realizing it, we're hiding that light under a bushel where it can and it will be snuffed out. Even if we're able to delay that, or God in his mercy, because of our immaturity, delays it, we will still come to see all the information through the lens of Satan's kingdom. Instead of seeing the information in front of us through the lens of God and his kingdom, we will see things through the lens of Satan's kingdom. Why? Because we become that which we consume. We will view the world through the things that we consume. Now, conversely, when we spend time in the Word and prayer, the wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and discernment that comes only from the Spirit of the living God takes that tiny mustard seed of faith and causes it to expand within us until we are filled to overflowing. And when that happens, we'll begin to see all this information that comes at us through the lens of the living God. And I believe that that's where we want to be. especially as intercessors who pray into these things, we want to be praying according to the will of God. Last time, a few weeks ago, I encouraged a social media detox. I hope that people took me up on that. Social media can, you know, be a benefit at times, but I would argue without discernment. And the reason I say social media can be a benefit at times is because mainstream media is so corrupt right now. But we still have to be careful. But without discernment, we're really being sucked into a vacuum of information that may or may not be true. And if we don't have discernment, how are we going to know? So, let's go to Israel. With all of this in mind, let's talk about Israel. In terms of Israel, social media posts have, more often than not, amplified unverified claims in terms of the conflict. TikTok and Telegram house the largest vacuum of misinformation, which is misleading information, and disinformation, which is intentional campaigns against Israel. There are pro-Palestine videos on TikTok with billions upon billions of views. In fact, pro-Palestinian posts outnumber pro-Israel posts 15 to 1. 15 to 1. And that report came out October of 2023, right after the October 7th attack. Yet those posts are still circulating today, in addition to the new posts that are being created every day. We see this on X as well with the spread of misinformation. A fake BBC reports, and even movie and video game clips spread across the interwebs as war footage every single day. Hamas has been quite adept at using Telegram. That's their major source of spreading their propaganda. Now we know why. Have a greater understanding of why there's such an uptick in Telegram posts, especially as compared to these other platforms right now. It's not only pro-Hamas, but it's anti-Israel misinformation and disinformation. The same can be said of Iran, the primary funder of Hamas. Years ago, I noticed multiple discrepancies coming out of both Telegram and TikTok on a variety of different issues. You know, these are things people were sending me, things that were contrary to what I was seeing with my own eyes. And I learned then that I could no longer trust the content. It's so full of misinformation and disinformation. That's why I stopped posting our ministry articles and messages on Telegram. We've never even been on TikTok, but they're avenues of deception. We should all ask ourselves, and I have done this. You know, I don't ever encourage you to ask a question of yourself that I haven't done it with myself. Why would I subject myself to routine injections of deception? Why would I do that? It's kind of like taking an allergy shot. You know, they eventually cause you to be desensitized to the allergen that once assaulted your system and made it sick. Do we really want to be desensitized to deception? Routine injections of deception will have this effect. When we see deception, and when I was praying over this, I'm going to actually share a vision I had. I was praying over this. Lord, can you give me a visual of what it looks like, what it should look like? How a Christian should respond when they see deception. And I saw this image flash in front of me, so I'm going to share it with you. I saw deception come, and I saw the spirit man rise up like a shield from within to protect from the impact. Our spirit man rose up from within like a shield. It was a very quick vision. And I thought, Lord, that is a beautiful image. Our spirit man should be protecting us. It should shock us. It should strive to protect us from the wiles and its ways of deception. This battle, this fight against deception, has been since Satan deceived Eve in the garden. But God has given us his tools, 66 books that we can glean from in his word. And when we learn to use them, every single time Satan comes our way with his deception, we will thwart his attack and his assault, not only on us, but our children, our families. Another, and you know, part of this issue is when we become desensitized to deception, we become, whether, you know, it's likely unwilling, participants in deception. When we embrace that deception and we spread that deception, we participate in the enemy's plans rather than God's. So not only are we now desensitized to that deception, but we become part of propagandizing deception. Now, if you're sitting there asking yourself, have I ever sent something that wasn't true? Did I ever send a propaganda meme or Telegram post or TikTok video? Did I ever spread that out? Ask the Lord to show you and repent. I think it's important as Christians that we take this step. It's an important step in a direction of moving into maturity and greater wisdom and discernment, especially in the days ahead. For me, I want to know what God is saying. What's he saying to me? What's he saying for America? What is he saying for Israel? What is a biblically based timeline that I've got to be following? The Christian's responsibility to Israel in 2025 is to reject, you know, and I've talked about this a few weeks ago, replacement theology and embrace biblical truth. We've got to reject the deception of the media, and we've got to pray for the Lord to intervene according to his will and his ways. We've got to see the events in front of us through his lens and not our own. I'm going to share a vision with you, and then I know we're probably save the rest for later, for next time. Next week, I'd like to share the history of Israel's forced land for peace deals, which never brought peace. And I also want to share about Hamas and their rise to power. And just, you know, quick spoiler alert, Hamas is part of the Muslim Brotherhood, and its primary funding is through this network, to the tune of $100 million annually being sent by Iran for their terrorist activities. So here's a vision I had. I saw Israel surrounded, and this was this weekend, actually, August 30th. And I was in prayer, and I saw Israel surrounded on all sides by her enemy, from the north to the south, the east and the west. And these nations seemed to be swelling up like these thick black silicone bags filled with liquid. I actually, this reminded, when I saw this vision, it reminded me of this. I have this like outdoor shower bag, you know. I've never even taken it really out of the package, but I've seen what it looks like because we've never had to use it. But it holds 5 gallons of water, and empty, it lays flat, but it expands as you fill it up with water. And so it's black. You put it out in the sun, it heats up. And so, but that's what these nations look like as they expanded. They began to fill up and get really, really plump. And they were moving closer to Israel, encroaching upon her borders, and then trying to climb up over her borders and move inward. And their goal was to snuff Israel completely out of existence. You know, there's entire ideologies out there that feel like Israel doesn't have a right to exist. Biblically speaking, if you've read the book of Revelation, you know Israel was to be a nation. If you've read Ezekiel 38 and 39, you know we're coming into some wars. Israel will be surrounded. The Lord will be her defender. If you've read the Bible, you know that in 1948, when Israel became a nation, when it was recognized as a nation, that was the catalyst for the end times. That had to happen for the events in the book of Revelation to even begin. Okay. So I sought the Lord on this, these nations surrounding Israel. And I was really praying fervently over Israel, and the bag just got fuller. Suddenly, the angel came up right from the center of Israel and thrust those bags, it thrust through those bags, those surrounding nations, it thrust them backwards and completely drained them of their power. So I know God is going to defend Israel. And I know if we will pray for Israel, God is going to defend Israel. There are people in the media I highly respect, and they have taken a stance on Israel that is not scriptural. In fact, they have flopped on their stance for Israel. Stances they took 7 and 8 years ago, staunch Israel supporters, they completely flopped to the other side. And that grieves my heart. But we are children of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We are his intercessors. We keep our ear pressed to his breast, and we know what we're supposed to know what he is asking us to pray into, how he is expecting us to see things through his lens, through his eyes. And as such, our responsibility to Israel is to deny things that are not scriptural, to reject things that do not align with the Word of God, to not participate in the narratives about Israel that are untrue, and to pray for Israel. Why is this so important? Because this is not just about Israel. The globalists are pushing for World War III, and they have a deep-seated hatred for Israel. Israel is their focal point to push for a great and horrific worldwide massacre. There was a time decades ago when Jews and Arabs and Muslims could walk around the same streets in peace. The division we see today, even there, is part of a greater plan to snuff out Israel. Today, with Israel surrounded by her enemies and those nations being propagandized to hate Israel and blame Israel for their poverty, their suffering, their misery, it reeks of the propagandizing of the world against the Jews in World War II. And I can promise you, just like dictators and communist leaders use the persecution and genocide of the Jewish people as a catalyst to turn on their own unwanted citizens, committing horrific genocides within their own borders during World War II, they will do it again. And that is what the enemy is pushing for. And if we move into World War III, we are going to see this in mass. Praying for Israel is a Christian's responsibility. $50 to $55 million people were killed in genocidal massacres in World War II. The population in the world today far exceeds what it was during World War II. And with the weapons that they have available at their fingertips today, imagine what they would do. While the world keeps its eye on Israel, that tiny little nation, no bigger than New Jersey, a teeny tiny little population in all of the Middle East, while the world keeps, while the media and governments around the world, while the UN, the globalists, keep our focus on big bad Israel, what is happening in these other arenas? Have we asked ourselves this question? Because people love to hate on Israel. But is it possible? This propaganda is distracting us from things they are planning up at the top. The globalists know what they're doing. They are brilliant people with death and hatred in their hearts. The Christian must move forward in the discernment, the wisdom, the understanding of God, so we can know how to navigate through this and bring these conflicts down. We must do this. We must. The fate of untold millions, and I firmly believe this, depend on it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you for your love. And I ask, Lord God, that you would help us to take this message and take the contents therein and just meditate on it. That, Lord God, as your children, we would apply the things you're giving us as intercessors. We would pray according to your will. That our highest desire will be to seek your face and pray into your will for us, for our families, for our nation, and for the nations of the earth. According to your will. In your precious name, amen. Thank you.